Father, as we just sung, I pray that we would cling to Christ, our sure and steady anchor. Even this morning, as we hear your word and as I preach your word, we are dependent on Christ and his wisdom. And so, Father, give me wisdom and clarity. Give us all ears to hear. And by your grace, may there be gospel growth as I preach this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. That'll be on page 532 in the Bibles in the seat racks in front of you. If you don't have a Bible of your own, as we like to say, go ahead and take that as a gift from us to read, to cherish, to mark up. I hope it'll be a gift to you. Proverbs chapter 8, 532 in the Bibles in the seats in front of you. When I was 16 years old, I had a friend named Taylor. One week, Taylor asked me if I would pick up some muffins and some orange juice and meet him in Hemming Plaza, downtown Jacksonville, Florida, at 7:30 a.m. before Sunday school. Taylor wanted to start a Bible study with the homeless men and women who would congregate in the city plaza. While reluctant, I agreed, and I met him that next Sunday morning. And this became a weekly thing for the final 2 years of our high school. In fact, many people began to call us the Plain White Tees, the group of guys that would go to downtown Hemming Plaza wearing white t-shirts. We wanted to dress up in our button-downs for church, but we didn't want the homeless men and women to feel like they needed to dress up, and so we would take off our shirts, wear our plain white t-shirts to Hemming Plaza. We became the Plain White Tees of Jacksonville. We usually had our regulars who we had become friends with, and we would gather around the word on Sunday mornings. But one Sunday, no one came. We were a bit discouraged, and we began to walk around Hemming Plaza, inviting men and women to read God's word with us, but people kept declining. No one accepted our offer to study the word that morning, even if we had breakfast with us. I don't remember all the details, but I think I suggested to Taylor, hey, let's go ahead and take the breakfast to Sunday school, arrive early, eat, no worries, so we can come back next week. And Taylor looked at me. I do remember this. And he said, woe to me, Will, if I don't preach the gospel. And he stood up on a concrete ledge there on the street corners of downtown Jacksonville. He opened his Bible and he began to preach. And I sat there and I listened. The people that morning didn't come to faith that we know of. No one came and listened. People just walked by as he preached. But one thing is true, that as Taylor raised his voice to share the gospel, wisdom was all around us. Wisdom was all around me. Wisdom was all around the men and women passing by that didn't seem to care. This morning, we're going to see from Proverbs chapter 8 that wisdom is all around you, ready for you to find it. And so while it's a long passage, join me as we read the entirety of Proverbs chapter 8 together this morning. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud. To you, O man, I call. And my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For from my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength, By me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule and nobles all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up, at first before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped. Before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he who had made the earth was with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When he established the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabiting world, and delighting in the children of man. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways, hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. Wisdom is the street corner preacher, and it's all around you. And here's what the text tells us about what we should do with its message. Number one, we should listen to wisdom. Number two, we should love wisdom. Number three, we should look at wisdom. And number four, when you find wisdom, you find life. Let's look at number one, listen to wisdom. We'll see this in verses 1 through 11. In these verses, we see that wisdom is calling out just like a street corner preacher would, just like Taylor did that Sunday morning. But I first want to point out that this preacher is in contrast to chapter 7. You remember when Pastor Mark preached chapter 7 of Proverbs? You have a voice that's calling out in the streets, but that voice you don't want to listen to. The adulterous woman is busy in town, calling out into the streets, bringing people into her house where blood lies. And so trust Pastor Mark. You don't want to listen to this voice. You want to run as far from this voice as you can. Run as far from you can as you can from sexual temptation and the sin that it leads to. But the good news is that in chapter 8, we have an alternative voice to listen to. Wisdom, here in chapter 8, is also busy in town, also calling out in the streets, raising her voice at the highest points, the back roads, the crossroads in the center of town. She's calling out at the gate. Wisdom is all around you. And this is a much better voice. If you follow with us throughout the book of Proverbs, so far you know who the alternative voice ultimately is. The alternative voice is ultimately Jesus himself, the wisdom of God that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Later in this text, there'll be more evidence for this claim. But right now, we can consider chapter 8 as the voice of Jesus calling out in the streets. And so we must listen to this voice. While we run away from the adulterous woman, we run toward Lady Wisdom and we take in everything that she has to say. Because verses 6 and following, what she says is noble and right. What comes from her mouth is truth, not lies. All the words of her mouth are righteous, not crooked. In other words, the wisdom of God found in Christ is all around us, and we must listen because what he speaks, all of his words are noble, righteous, and true. And what we'll see throughout these verses, particularly these first 11, that these words aren't hidden. The wisdom that's all around you doesn't whisper, does it? Jesus doesn't whisper about the things that are righteous or pleasing to him. No, Jesus calls out in the streets the very wisdom of God, and he does so loudly so that we wouldn't miss it. We're just called to listen to it. Think about this book, the book that we have. What God wants us to hear in this book is loud and clear. We just have to read it. Which is why as a church, we take this book and we preach it. We read it. We counsel with it. Because verses 6 through 9, listen to them closely. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All of the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked about them. They are all straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. This is why we listen to God's word, because wisdom is all around us. Wisdom is in God's word. If you're here this morning and you come to church week in and week out because it's what you do, or you hear your family talk about the gospel, but it kind of goes in one ear and out the other, and you think, hey, maybe one day I'll care as much about the gospel as my dad does, or my mom does, or my grandparents do. If that's you, I want to encourage you not to plug your ears to the voice of wisdom. Don't let the preaching of the gospel that you hear at church, don't let the gospel sharing that your family does with you, don't let it go in one ear and out the other. I want to invite you, like the proverb is doing today, to listen to what God says. To listen to what God says about your sin, about his righteousness, about how you can only be saved by being brought back into relationship with him by faith in Jesus. If you're here today, you have wisdom all around you, and that's a blessing from God. And so I invite you to listen to what he has to say. One of the ways that wisdom is all around you is through literal voices, through Christians, friends, pastors, Christian family members. And so listen to those voices. Christian in the room, by God's grace, you too have wisdom all around you. And you're going to be constantly tempted to walk past the street corner of the street corner preacher of wisdom and listen to alternative voices that are in the streets, forgetting that you need wisdom. But verses 1 through 11 remind you that you need this wisdom. You need to listen to its voice. We should care about wisdom. We should care about instruction and knowledge that comes from God more than we care about the things of this world, the alternative voices. The text makes it clear that there is no alternative voice. There is nothing in this world that we could desire that compares to wisdom. The countless voices that you hear are trying to pull you away from the wisdom in Christ, pull you away from the voice of wisdom. I imagine, when I was reading this text, I imagine a place like Times Square that is one of the busiest places on earth. There's stuff and voices and it's so busy. The voice of wisdom is there. There's voices calling out, distracting folks. This is what's happening here in the text. The voice of wisdom in the busiest place is calling out to you, so you must listen. Don't walk by the voice of wisdom and be pulled away by a distraction. Don't walk by the voice of wisdom listening to an alternative voice. So what about you? What instructive voice are you going to take? The voice of wisdom or one of the many voices of the world? The first word in verse 10 is important. Look there. It says, take. Take my instruction instead of silver. Instruction is eternal. Silver is temporary. And so I ask, what are you going to take? What are you going to choose? Jesus says you can't have two masters. Are you going to take wisdom? Are you going to take money, stuff, material things? Money is one of the alternative voices that's calling out and saying, hey, I'll satisfy you. Success is one of the alternative voices that's calling out and saying, hey, I will satisfy you. The adulterous woman in chapter 7 is calling out saying, hey, I will satisfy you. But wisdom calls out and says, not only will I satisfy you, but what I offer doesn't even compare to these other voices. Doesn't compare to anything that you could desire. Wisdom, church family, is what you want to take. Take an eternal, satisfying relationship with God any day over anything material, over anything of this world that's going to waste away and leave you desiring more. And so when you hear the call of wisdom that comes from the Word, listen to it. Because as you listen intently to the voice calling out to you, you will learn to love this voice. You'll learn to love the voice of wisdom. And that's point number two, love wisdom. We'll see this in verses 12 to 21. Since moving to South Carolina, I've been introduced to an intense college sports rivalry. And I'm sorry, Bob Jones and North Greenville students, it's not Bob Jones versus North Greenville. It's Clemson versus South Carolina. Okay? And what I've learned is that if you love one, you absolutely hate the other. Nobody's showing up to rivalry week wearing a Gamecocks jersey and a Tigers hat. That just doesn't happen. Church family, we love the wisdom of Christ, which means that we absolutely hate evil. And I'm not trying to say that one of those teams is evil and the other one is good. I'm neutral here. But truly, if we love the wisdom of Christ, we absolutely hate evil. And this will happen naturally. As we grow in our love for the Lord, we will hate the things that he hates. But we also have to be intentional about hating sin in order to fight against it. We need to use hatred for sin as a strategy to fight it. Kids in the room, look up here just for a moment. God doesn't want you to hate other people. God doesn't want you to hate the instruction of your parents. He wants you to love that. But it's okay. God wants you to hate sin. God wants you to hate evil. And that's really clear here in Proverbs chapter 8. If you remember, in Proverbs chapter 1, very first sermon I preached in the book of Proverbs, we read that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. Fearing the Lord is the foundation. It's the key to understanding the book of Proverbs. Well, we come here to verse 13, and we see a similar line. The fear of the Lord is, but it says something different, doesn't it? This time it says, the fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. It's pretty simple logic here. When we fear the Lord, when we're in awe of him, when we're in awe of his righteousness, his love, his mercy, his perfect sacrifice, then why would we want the things he hates? A couple of case studies follow right here in verse 13. You'll see those. We'll take pride and arrogance first. We see that in verse 13. This comes up at other times in the book of Proverbs, but I want to say a few more words about pride. Remember, this is the wisdom of Jesus calling out in the streets. We can say that, okay? And so it shouldn't surprise us that the one who humbled himself to the point of death would hate pride and arrogance. As self-centered sinners, pride and arrogance is prevalent. It's prevalent in my life. And so I ask, in what ways is it prevalent in yours? Maybe as you talk about your work. Maybe as you talk about your kids, maybe as you talk about your past successes, in what ways is it prevalent? But remember that the wise man or woman knows that any wisdom they hold, and I've said this before in a Proverbs sermon, any wisdom that they hold does not come from their giftedness, their skills, their hard work, but rather it comes from fearing the Lord, the one who gives wisdom, and the one who gives all of these things. Charles Bridges, a pastor and theologian in the 1700s, says this about pride, and in particular, in commentating on these verses, says, a proud disciple of a lowly Savior, how offensive is this contradiction to our Master? That's strong, isn't it? That's heavy. It's humbling. Proverbs 8 takes it even a step further. Not only is this offensive to our Master, but our Master hates it. Our Master hates pride. And so when pride begins to boil up in our hearts, puffing ourselves up, repent. Remember that wisdom hates pride, and look to your humble Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14 also makes it clear that wisdom hates perverted speech. Any talk that is crude or perverted, God hates that. Wisdom hates that. Wise speech is pure speech. Like his humility, everything that comes out of Jesus' mouth is pure. It's right. It's true. Jesus says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so what we say, our speech, tells us a lot about the things that we're loving. If you remember in chapter 4, Pastor Mark preached one of the verses, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. And so if we think about that in terms of pride and arrogance and perverted speech, we remember that those things aren't coming from a heart that's loving wisdom, but rather a heart that's loving self. And so I would suggest, when it comes to perverted speech, I would encourage you to think about the wisest man or the wisest woman that you know, the most godly person you can think of right now. How do they use their words? Is their speech pure? I would assume so, right? The text says it would be. Wise men and women are marked by pure speech. I think it's that simple here in the text. And so when we see these sorts of sins in our life, look to the perfect life and sacrifice of Jesus. Love him, which in turn would allow you to hate pride, hate arrogance, hate perverted speech, and for that matter, anything else that God hates. Look at verse 17. I love those who love me. And so very simply, our response, love Jesus. Love the wisdom that comes from him. And this verse is not a I'll love you if you love me type of verse. God isn't that way. But rather, it's evidence that you are his when you love him. God loves his own, and his own will love him. And it's with this simple yet wise gospel truth that you will grow to hate evil in your heart. Many of you have heard me talk about it from this pulpit or court classes before, but the Puritans used to call this the power of a new affection. When your love for Jesus grows, your hatred for sin will also grow. When your love for Jesus grows, your love for the world will diminish. And so very practically, if you're convinced that wisdom is all around you, and you want to love wisdom, you want to love it, but still wrapping your mind about how to find him or how to find the wisdom that Jesus offers, second half of verse 17 should be helpful for you. It says, and those who seek me diligently find me, which is a theme that's been coming up over and over in the book of Proverbs, and I hope it'll encourage you. Those who seek me diligently find me. And the good news about Proverbs 8 is that you don't have to look very far. Jesus is calling out. Wisdom is all around you. You're at church. You have access to a Bible. And so as you weave through the chaos of life, trusting in Jesus to save you and to change you, you will find wisdom. It's not far off. And when you hear this voice that's calling out all around you in the streets, you will learn to love it. And fruit will follow. You'll grow in love for wisdom. John chapter 10, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And so seek wisdom diligently. And when you hear the voice of Jesus, you will know it. Listen for wisdom. Learn to love wisdom that comes from our Lord. In fact, he has possessed this wisdom from the very beginning. And so look around at creation. The first things that God has made, look around and see his wisdom, see his power in them. That's point number three. Look at wisdom. And so listen, love, and now look. We'll see this in verses 22 to 31. If you remember in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. What we're noticing in the book of Proverbs is that there's a lot of repetition in many of these ideas in these verses. It was in that sermon in Proverbs chapter 3 that I encourage you to look around at creation. And I focused in on looking around and seeing the power of the wisdom of God. And now as we get to verses 22 to 31, we see a similar truth and a similar call to look around and see wisdom, see the power of God in creation. But it's just expanded in more verses and in more detail. And as we look around at creation, we're going to see two things. We're going to see first that wisdom is powerful. We'll see the power of wisdom, but then we'll also see that wisdom brings joy. The power of wisdom and then the joy that it brings. A few words on the power of wisdom. In verses 22 to 29, wisdom takes us back to creation, just like we're in Genesis 1 again. It shows us that wisdom was there at creation. It's by wisdom that God created this world and all that we see. And so look around and see the power of wisdom to create all things, including you. And remember that if this wisdom can create the mountains and the oceans, the skies, if it's powerful to do that, how much more can this wisdom do for you in your life? You can possess the very same wisdom that created the entire world and everything in it. I was thinking about this morning. Think about how confidently you say, yeah, God created everything. Yeah, look at the planets and look at the ocean. God made that. Think about how many times you look at creation and say, wow, God made that. Will you be just as confident to believe that you can too gain the wisdom, the same wisdom that created the heavens and the earth? How confident will you be to believe that you can gain this same wisdom for your life and that God will give it to you when you need it at the exact right time? And so as confidently as you say, God made everything and I believe that, would you also say, I'm going to trust God to give me the wisdom that I need in life? So these verses convince us of the power of wisdom. Verses 30 to 31 then convince us that this wisdom brings joy. Wisdom is beside God in creation. So as he's making the heavens and the earth, wisdom is there like a master workman, it says. An expert craftsman adding detail and beauty designed to all creation so that God could see all that he made and say, wow, this is good. And here in these verses, wisdom is agreeing with that statement and saying, yes, all that God has made is good. It's so good. Even the people that he made, even you. Creation is very good. Wisdom is telling us here that we should look around, see that, and then rejoice. Enjoy the world that God has made. Enjoy gardening. Enjoy a hike. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends. And when you experience joy in this world, attribute it to God and his wisdom that it's all around you. Because when you have wisdom, you have joy. They go hand in hand. For those of you who might rightfully be asking the question, well, what about the fall? Hey, we look around and we see God's good creation and that it brings joy. What about the fall and all the sin in the world? Maybe you think that creation doesn't seem very good at times and there doesn't seem to be much to rejoice in because of the sin in the world. I want to affirm that in some ways that's true. The world is broken. And at times we look around and we're sorrowful rather than joyful. But remember that the same wisdom that created the world is making all things new. It's because of this wisdom that we can trust God and rejoice that he is making all things new. Sin separates us from God and his wise and good creation design, but wisdom has come to restore us in Jesus. And so yes, while at times we're sorrowful, we can rejoice in Jesus and be able to look at God's creation and say, this is very good. Yes, there's sin in the world. Yes, there's brokenness in the world, but he is making all things new. Look around and see the power of wisdom in this world and rejoice in it. I'd encourage you right now, think of something, have something pop into your mind right now to rejoice in and to thank God for. Maybe it's something in creation. Maybe a relationship you have. Maybe it's something simple as laughter. I read something this week of Charles Spurgeon walking with a friend just out on a hike, and they were talking about life, and they just began to laugh. And Charles Spurgeon looked at his friend and said, let's pause right now and thank God for laughter, right? Let's do that. Look for ways to enjoy what God has given you and to thank God for it. And so as you listen to wisdom, number one, learn to love wisdom. Number two, and number three, look around and see wisdom in the world. It's here that you find life. Because number four, when you find wisdom, you find life. We see this in verses 32 to 36. Let's consider wisdom calling out in the streets again. Remember that image that we had at the very beginning? Wisdom, the street corner preacher. If we walk by wisdom, ignoring what wisdom has to say, we miss out on the blessings that wisdom has to offer. Verses 32 to 36 make it clear that there is blessing when we listen to the wisdom of God. Without much explanation today, in other sermons we've explained this, but without much explanation today, I've referred to wisdom as the wisdom of Christ speaking in this text. And I told you early in the sermon that later we would have more evidence for this in the text. I wholeheartedly believe that Jesus is all over the Proverbs, but I hope you'll be further convinced by verses 35 to 36. Look there with me. This is what we read. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But whoever fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. It was Jesus whom the Father is well pleased with. It's Jesus that calls out and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so in these final verses of Proverbs 8, should sound really familiar to other New Testament texts. I think of 1 John 5:12, which says, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. Listen to that in comparison. Here in Proverbs 8, it says, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. For whoever fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. You see the similar language, don't you? Here is the blessing of wisdom that you find in Jesus. The only way that you can obtain favor with God is through faith in Jesus. And so listen to what Jesus has to say. When he says things like, come to me, all who are heavy, weary, and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen to his commands as to how to live your life. Don't follow your own desires or the voices that you're hearing call out in this world. Follow Jesus. When you come to him, you will find him. And when you find him, you will find life. And so, unbeliever, today, repent of your sins and trust in Christ. When you have all the voices of this world shouting out and calling out to you, listen to the voice of Jesus. Don't neglect him. Wisdom is all around you. And so don't carry on throughout life without Jesus and his wisdom. If you don't, the text says in verse 36, you'll injure yourself. If you ignore Jesus, if you keep down this path of injury, that will then lead to death, it says there in verse 36. And so this is serious. Unbeliever, trust in Christ. Look to Christ today for the forgiveness of your sins and to find wisdom. Church family, my encouragement to you is to keep listening. You have favor from the Lord because you have the wisdom found in Christ. And so stay attentive. Keep listening. Keep watching. Keep waiting for him. And you will find a relationship with the Lord that leads to life. You will have hope in this world to live, and you will have eternal life forever. To close, I want to take us back to my friend Taylor. Taylor doesn't stand on street corners anymore and preach. In fact, Taylor isn't even his real name because I'm not allowed to share it with you. Taylor is a missionary in the Middle East, serving in a hard-to-reach region. While mostly in private and in personal interactions, he still does preach, though. My friend's prayer is that the people of this hard-to-reach region that I can't share with you would see that wisdom is all around them, and that all the voices of the world and the culture and other religions, that the voice of Jesus would be prominent and preeminent amongst all of those voices. And so he calls people to listen to Jesus, to love Jesus, to look at Jesus, and so that when they find him, they would find life. And that's exactly what I'm doing this morning from this pulpit, church family and friends. God's wisdom is all around you. But where will you go to find it? What voice are you going to listen to? I'm asking you to listen to the voice of wisdom. Listen to the voice of Jesus. And this voice will give you life. Let's pray. Father, think of the song that we sang last Sunday, How I Love the Voice of Jesus. And I pray that I personally would love this voice more and more. That as we hear the voice of Jesus, that we would be able to recognize it amongst all of the scattered voices in our head and in this world. That we would realize from Proverbs chapter 8 that all of the other voices that call out do not compare. There is nothing that we can desire in this world that compares to the voice of wisdom. And we know that this wisdom is found in our Lord. And so, Father, for our church family, Lord, I do pray that as we preach, as we read the word, that we would hear clearly this voice. We know that if we seek you diligently, we will find you. And so I pray that this would be the case for us all this morning. Work in our hearts for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.